L-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Nope. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
Have you ever been that tired, though? Do you remember those? We used to have those planning meetings on a Wednesday after the radio show, after the breakfast show. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah.
Wednesday was always the calf day.
Calf quiz. Calf. Oh, no, not calf quiz, yeah. Just calf.
We made a quiz out of the calf. That's why you think of the calf.
Oh, yeah.
We got the quizzes Friday, so you got quizzes on the brain. But no, we used to go to the calf, like be there for about 10, 15, 10, 30. I would always hate it because I'd have to wait for you lot to actually do proper work because I got to just be a presenter. I could just, at 10:01, show's ended. I'm like, let's go eat. And you're like, well, hold on. We have to go upload our floppies into Satch's hard drive. And Keji's going to get his 3.5-inch out and download the Maxi.
Do you know what? That was the day of floppies. I'm not even going to lie.
Oh, where's that file saved? Oh, it's saved under the D drive for the E drive for the shared file. Yeah. Just eat, please? But then we'd go. My whole point about saying all of this stuff is I feel a bit run down, a bit tired. I think Satch, you're a bit run down, a bit tired. Kedge doesn't do anything, so he's all right. He's management now. he makes other people tired. And so I was saying I'm not nowhere near as tired as those Wednesday afternoons. We would have just eaten. It's the middle of the week.
Yeah.
You've come back for a meeting at like 11:30, something like that.
Yeah. It was 11:30, right?
11:30, 12, right? And I remember sitting there, you know, when you yawn, but you have to lock your jaw because you don't want to open your mouth. You're like, hard to yawn. And then there were times when people talking are like, I'm not going to make it. I can't keep my eyes open. Like, I'm battered.
It didn't help that management were just chatting absolute BS as well. And he said, just shut up, brother. You're making me fall asleep.
But also, I would come into my own because this was my opportunity to really go for people, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's the thing. Kedge would have he's ready with all of his bullet points, like, trying to fight people. I'm trying to, like, just sit there quietly, like, I don't want to know. Tommy's falling asleep. And the manager's just chatting shit. So it's just honestly.
You know what it is? But this is what you realise. But when you're part of a big organization, you're going to get that management speak. You're going to get that, and this is a strategy. Yeah. This is what you're a part of. This is what's going on in the bigger picture. And you're like, oh, I'm just so tired. I've got kids, newborn kids. And my eyes are streaming. And you're like, there were times I just nodded off. But thankfully, Trevor Nelson. I just started on breakfast. And he was covering someone on breakfast, but he'd stopped doing, I think back then, Radio 1 Extra Breakfast. And he came out. I went, oh, Trevor, Tommy, right? He goes, yeah. He goes, oh, so you're the new guy on breakfast for Asian Network. And he went, ah! I went, what? And he went, I don't miss that one little bit, brother. One little bit, I don't miss it. And I'm like, all right, okay. But I was new and fresh to it. But now when I look back to it, I think, the thought of waking up at 4 a.m. People are going to go, oh, will you ever go back? Do you think you'll ever go back to breakfast radio? Oh. No. 4 a.m. darkness waking up. I'm telling you, you sacrifice your life. So I think it's a 30 something year old man's game. It's not a 40.
Even then, it's not. I don't even think it's a 30. I couldn't even think of that.
You know, I don't think there are people who can cut it anymore at that level. I just don't think that the commitment, the stamina, the energy that's required to do that at a level I don't think exists anymore. They're not marathon runners anymore.
Mm.
They're just 100 meters.
He's saying we were marathon runners, me and Zach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You guys were the whole team. We were working at an intense level for 3.5 hours, right? Daily. To keep it up daily, 5 days to create content for that many hours for a week after week, and it's just in relentless.
Yeah,
it was. You
keep it up for hours.
We did, Then we had to go. Then we had to go and do other shit after it finished and go home, have a little nap, and then go out to some shit in the evening, like some thing that we didn't even want to be at.
No, but then you have to do that because you have to be a part of the scene. You have to almost be like journalists covering it.
Yeah, plus, you know, many a time me and Tommy have fallen asleep in a cinema or in a play or something like that because
imagine back then, Tommy, if you had to then put everything on Instagram, every link you felt the need to put onto Instagram and do all of that nonsense. Do you know what I mean? And that's what it's for. Nowadays, it's a very short term kind of, you know, let's just quickly, oh look, we've done this quickly, whack it up on Instagram, and then you're relying on that to make you a presenter.
Yeah, and I find it interesting that even like now, like let's say with a Diljit concert, right, which I know me and Satch are both out, we're going to talk about that, but everyone is posting their reviews on their own social media, and I thought that's interesting, because normally you'd have journalists would go and then they do it on the radio, but the thing is, things are changing. People aren't listening to the radio as much as they used to, and I think people are following people's social media. So now people are wanting to build their social media. So all of the, it's like, oh, if I went to something, you'd go, I'll save that and I'll say it on air. But there is, I don't know. That's kind of
You can't save anything for on air.
What can I do? Okay, but from me being an old man to someone who's definitely not an old man, who's jumping around like a very much young man, is Diljit Dosanjh.
How was it, guys?
We were at the Saturday night, so the second of the three sell-out concerts at the O2 London. So he did Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night, just of this weekend, just gone. And
No. He just did Friday and Saturday. The next one's in a couple of weeks.
Oh, is it not? Did he not do Sunday night? Did he not do
It's on the 18th.
Three in a row.
No.
And Satch, music man Satch.
Yeah.
What do you reckon?
Do you know what? I got to say, I really enjoyed it. I went on the Friday night, on the first night that I went.
Yeah.
And his first song, as soon as he came out, bang, music hits you.
Yeah. I could tell there was a lot of excitement on your Instagram reviews, Satch.
Excitement. In your face, like the music hits you, the lights hit you, and you're like, wow, like this is wicked, like it's good. I really enjoyed it. It was a good show. He brought out Badshah as a guest. I thought the production of the whole show, like as in the actual show itself, like the lighting, the screens and all of that, he's way ahead of anything else I've seen, Asian wise, like Desi artist wise, next level.
Okay, and so Badshah was out for Nena, one song?
He came out for one song, and to be fair, I think he kind of cocked that up, you know, like bringing Badshah out, Diljit, because he kind of went into the whole, I've got a special guest, one of them kind of manoeuvres, and I was just like, you should have just played the tune and just got him to come out, because the crowd goes wild when they're not expect. Why are you announcing it? Like he made a whole
Ed Sheeran thing. When
exactly. Right. He didn't really mention it, and Ed popped out the box. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Diljit kind of, you know, did a whole, oh, he's my friend, I've known him for 15 years, all of this. And I was just like, by the time it got there, I was a bit bored. And can I just say, while I was there, someone messaged me saying that's the special guest Badshah before like it even happened.
Yeah, there's a lot of people, I saw that on socials, a lot of people were saying, Badshah's going to be the special guest. I was like, wow, that wasn't kept much of a secret.
Where was the secret? Yeah, exactly. So I was just like a bit like, but good show. If you can get tickets to go to the 18th, the last show, check it out, because it is good. Definitely recommend going.
Okay, the show for me is two parts of the show, right? It's what the performer gives and it's what the audience are like. And that guy, he can sing, he can act, he's a good-looking bloke, he can work the audience, he's got the chat. So as a performance, it was outstanding, right? It's still Diljit doing his thing. I
mean, yeah.
But what I think really made it, that was a crowd. That crowd, I've hosted a lot of concerts.
Yeah.
That crowd was jumping
from
start to finish.
It was the same on Friday.
Every song had a roar. I looked around. There's, you know, like how the cricket, you know how like you get those pockets of people doing bhangra? Yeah. That was everywhere.
Yeah.
That was just everywhere.
Yeah.
And I was like, and it normally, and if I'm going to say it, because we were the first to criticize, Asian audiences are relatively lazy. It's not like a festival audience. They're kind of like, I pay my money, coming in, like show me the show.
Not all, and not all.
Even in comedy shows, you get people would sit there with their arms folded, like, go on. So they're happy. And I go, you're right. And they go, yeah, they're totally fine. But they just don't express it.
Yeah. Entertainment.
Whereas here at Dilji.
Bit like me.
Yeah. At Dilji, they were like, it was like one of their owners made it. It was weird. It had a different kind of vibe. Mm. It was like, he's of the people. Mm. He's this regular guy who's now, and because he is so humble with it and all that, I think it just makes it very accessible. There's kids, there's old people, you know, he's bringing people out the crowd. He's doing that little connect. So no, I thought it was, you just suddenly felt like, oh crap, I knew he was big.
Yeah.
This feels like something else now. This feels like that's it. You've done enough to cement yourself in history forever. I don't know.
It was good.
And actually, can I say something weird? Okay, have a listen to this.
Say it.
Can you hear him
I've
chat?
Got something weird to say, yeah.
I've got two random observations. He sounds like Shah Rukh Khan. Has anybody else ever said that?
No, he don't. What are you about?
No, he sounds. He doesn't. He sounds like he's always like giggly and like and he's always singing.
You know when Shah Rukh does that kind of thing, he goes, oh, "Yeah, appreciate you, thank you." You know, he's kind of got this kind of gentle kind of way. There was a couple of moments, his tone of voice. Bit. I was like, "Man, that's Shah Rukh's voice." That was a bit strange. The second thing I thought, which is my random thought of the day, right?
Yeah.
Which is, I was trying to get to the Wi-Fi, and I was like, "Cause obviously, in the O2."
There's no point doing that.
Why would you do that, Tommy?
Because why would you get on the Wi-Fi?
I couldn't bro,
every lullu in from like, do you know what I mean? Jalandhar to Chandigarh is on that thing, bruv.
Yeah. But
there's
but
no way that's working.
Then I'm there and I'm kind of going, wonder if they've got like booster boxes everywhere. And I thought, you're a Buddha when you're sitting there kind of going, how do you get Wi-Fi around a building this time?
Did you take an Ethernet cable with you or something?
In there, exactly.
To plug it in.
It was, and I'm like, I am too old for this shit. That's what I said. Yeah.
You sound it. Can I just say, signal was great in there because I was posting bear videos in real time.
Oh, well, of course it was because you're an O2. Of course you are. They look after their own.
Can I ask a weird question then, following on from your weird sort of things, right?
Here we go.
So obviously we were blessed to have the likes of Arijit Singh and Diljit Singh, right? Dosanjh.
Well, it's Dosanjh, yeah.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. And for me, just from looking and observing, because that's, you know, that's my job. I do a lot of observing and I like to see the trends and how people react.
Yeah, sometimes from the bushes. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that as well.
That's not allowed, kid.
Well, no, but, you know, being a MI5 agent, sometimes you've got to be hiding and stuff like that. But what I've noticed is, and this is not a bad thing or anything like that, but it's just an observation that I need some clarification on. I thought maybe Tommy, who is, sort of highly respected in the Punjabi community, and Satch, again,
figurehead.
And Satch, who's pretty much part of it as well. Why is it that Punjabis identify more with Mera Munda, Apna Punjab Hove, Diljit Singh? But Arijit Singh,
his name's Diljit Dosanjh. Stop saying Diljit Singh. You piss me off.
But I'm just doing it for effect. I'm just doing it. Come on, it's just, yeah, I'm just.
It's like
just
me saying Kej, I don't know, Patel.
Patel.
No.
But for this argument, it works. But what I'm trying to say is, but when it comes to Arijit Singh, that love for Arijit also Singh is not there from the Punjabi community. Do you see what I mean? What is that about?
I'm going to give you what I think on that.
Okay.
Number one, Arijit Singh, he makes Bollywood music. So the music's different. Like, it's not, he's, Diljit makes Bhangra music. So you target a certain kind of person that just likes Bhangra music. Obviously, he's crossed over to Bollywood. He's doing films and all of this. But predominantly, the music,
yeah,
Punjabi people can sort of relate to,
not more, I'd say, but they're more into it. Bangra music. Do you see what I mean?
And do you reckon?
I think Bollywood kind of appeals to everybody. So,
I don't see the pride from Punjabi people for ONG, but I think
there is that pride, but I just think he's getting love from a load of other people because he's singing in Hindi and doing Bollywood, so it's a different crowd.
The Punjabis have gone, you know what, let the Gujaratis and everybody else,
the Tamils and the Bengali, let them have him. No, I don't think they've like disowned him by any means. Right. I just think he's probably got a load more other fans of other people doing, do you see what I mean? So he's just doing Bollywood music. It's different.
Can I hear from the statesman of Punjab?
Yeah, you can. I think shame on you for asking such a dumb question.
No,
number one.
No,
seriously. I'll tell you why it's a dumb question. I'm sorry, this is the problem with like kind of mainstream journalism news. I don't know why Kedge is doing it. Kedge is half smirking and doing this. Don't take this idiot seriously.
for one second.
But this is like, and I tell my kids this actually, this is like the Ronaldo Messi debate. And they go, who's better? I said, don't compare them. No, wait a minute, right? I said, don't compare them. I know you're not comparing. But the reason why you can't compare him and the reason why you shouldn't compare Ronaldo and Messi is because they're two phenomenal beings in their sport, right?
Agreed. Unfair
wrong. And that's why Arijit and Diljit are two actually different acts. But what you've done, Kedge, sum everyone up, stick them all in one box, is gone, oh, Sanga.
Yes.
But actually, they're two different acts. I don't know hip-hop and other things like that, but like Diljit is more your Drake, where he crosses over with pop and Punjabi music, right? And Arijit is Kendrick Lamar. Is that they had beef, didn't they? I'm trying to find someone who's a bit more
Ed Sheeran who crosses everything.
Okay, yeah, someone who's a bit more of a, he's a musician, he's just more I think they're different acts completely.
I don't see how Diljit is the Punjabi Munda vibe you get from Punjabis on Instagram stories and things like that, but you don't get that Punjabi love. And all I want is I want the same amount of Punjabi. No, okay, why can't they both have the same amount of,
because
you know,
he's not that's
Makhiali Roti love from both sides.
Then in which case, Kedge, what you're saying is you should support people of your own bend blindly. What people are saying is pop kids or people are gonna go, I like Diljit. And by the way, at Diljit's concert, there was black, white, brown, there was quite a lot of gore, I saw as well, right?
Yeah,
like popping along, right? And there was also I'm going to say, we can tell people who look a bit more Gujarati or look a bit more, you know, but obviously there's loads of Punjabis, loads of things, all that. But there was also a real mix. And I think Arijit would pull in a lovers of music mix rather than, we're coming for the pop star. You're coming for what he does. But I think people are coming for Diljit in a different way because it's him as a pop act. So I just think it's two different things. I think the way they pitch themselves is two different things. But yeah. I know what you're saying.
I just want them to both have equivalent Punjabi love is what I was saying. I don't think they do. Let's divide the Makki di Roti set like equally.
No, but it doesn't work like that. I think they both get love equally in their own. I think you're trying to make something out of nothing.
See, he's Daily Mail.
He's Daily Mail, honestly.
It's an interesting one. If anything, I'd almost be like, the question I think is, who has transcended their Punjabiness more? Because Diljit, obviously, doing films with Ali Bhatt, he's on the Bollywood levels, he's got all those different mix of people fanning all over him.
Yeah,
whereas
yeah.
Arijit has united, his music unites all of India, which, as we know, has got 1,000 different dialects, 100s of different languages, and yet his sound somehow spiritually, emotionally transcends this world and goes, it just connects everyone or whatever. That's special. But that's like, you know, can I just say, and I'm not just throwing it in now, like Shankar Mahadevan, I'm just saying, his voice that you were talking about, Satch, last week at the IFES, I don't know, I can't think of a person on the planet that would go, nah, I don't like the sound of that. It's awesome.
And do you know what? Since, you know, I went to the Diljit concert on the weekend, I had a lot of those questions. Whose was better then, Arijit or Diljit? And I was just like, you can't compare it. They're two different acts.
Yeah. It's a Jeet situation. I'm well happy with that. I've dropped the mic. You guys can finish the rest of the podcast. I'm done.
Yeah.
Oh my god. But no, like,
somebody say Just Jeets. That's all it was.
The you can't compare. You can't. Both great in their own way, basically.
Yeah, good, good. And then, well, but in which case, Tommy went to another
compare, I might as well compare. I might as well compare Janet Jackson to.
Yeah, I think you should, because you went there as well, isn't it?
Wow.
I thought Janet Jackson last
season. So jelly about that. So,
is that what the kids are saying?
Yeah, that's what the kids are saying. Yeah.
Petty. Do you get a pet jelly from the petty? That's the other word.
Jelly from the
petty. I am so apple crumble about that.
Yeah. Woo, my ice cream is so melted. Right. So last Tuesday we went, it was me and my sisters, just me and my two sisters went in the end. Right. My wife was supposed to go, but she couldn't do it. So and me and my two sisters have not hung out like that, I don't think, ever in our lives. You know, I'm in my late 40s, they're in their a little bit older than me, right? And then we went in the car, we drove down, yeah, a little chitter chatter all the way, right? Got a hotel, all right, and then had a bit of food, had a few drinks, and then went to Co-op Live. Co-op Live sounds like a real cheap place because it's Co-op. Mm.
Co-op Live, yeah, it feels like that. Live. When you go, it's like you go shopping, but they've got loads of like live demonstrations as you shop.
Could you use your co-op card there? Your little loyalty card?
Yeah, exactly. It's right next door to the Etihad. Can I say, what a beautiful venue. And wicked staff. Everyone, I think it's a Manchester thing maybe, or a Northern thing, but everyone you met along the way, the ushers, the stewards, the people, you know, telling you which way to go around, which exit is, entrance it is, where your seats are, all that, had a bit of banter, had a bit of chat. So the whole night was just teed up, really super friendly. Everyone was just on a wicked vibe. I'm there, you know, on a nostalgia concert with my sisters, who really got me into like Jackson 5 and Janet Jackson, all that back in the day. Mm. We'd listen to Wham, we'd listen to Aha, Duran Duran, you know, all those kind of that kind of Madonna, you know, all that era of music was all them. So it was nice to kind of go with them. And then, of course, we had a whole retro concert. She did like a moth to a flame, burned by the fire. That's the way love goes. Do,
do, do, that's do, the way love. Right? Oh. Bangers. She's just got bangers.
And then it was so there was loads of great tunes, and it was a feel good easy vibe concert. All the music,
but was she good? Was she good?
I mean, there was loads of dancers as well. Look, she's 60 something.
Was she moving? Was she moving? Was she still?
She was moving enough. You would not. She looks in better shape than me. She's probably about 20 years older than me. So she looked good with that, and she's doing some moves, but it's not like full on like 1980s, 90s Janet, obviously. But there was plenty of dancing. The production's great, music's great, everything sounds great. She's chatting to the people. She got, you know, like the voice that goes in between that's only Jackson's talk like. She's got, you know, all of that. Like, guys, because she came out back out to do one more song. She goes, how can I go now? I can't leave now. Like gestures also, to the crowd.
Was she talking a lot?
Enough in between little bits here and there.
Okay.
Yeah. Nothing
all right. Low. Okay. Because it's interesting because a few people from work went and they're a little bit disappointed. There was like, oh, she didn't really speak. She didn't have like a catwalk in the middle to come into the middle of the arena. It was like she was doing a lot of medley stuff, so you weren't getting full songs. So people from work were a little bit disappointed. So that's why I was interested in what you thought.
That I think, you know what, we got enough from it. I think
for me, that's just good.
Being with my sisters. Made it sort of special, really. That was a bit. And then it was, I mean, if we were watching Aha, if we were watching like some other random band from the, we'd probably still have a good time. But I think, that was nice. And then can I say, what a week. And we did Janet Jackson on Tuesday night last week, drove back on Wednesday. Then on Thursday, I was at Top Secret Comedy Club in London. Friday, I'm doing the Richard Blackwood Comedy Night, which was sold out, which was brilliant, great fun. Saturday was Dil G. Yesterday, cooking the cooking show for Desi Beat. Yeah. And now here we are Monday night. So I'm like, why I'm a bit sibly, because I always get, you know me. I get
and to be honest, Tommy, it's been the same for me. I landed on Wednesday back from Dubai. I've been working every day till tonight. And I'm still on the go. Still on the go.
I have to ask you, boys, though, when you were at these concerts, did you buy any merch from any of the events? Is that something you guys do?
I didn't, but I should have bought the Dil G ones because it looked really good.
Dil G had merch.
Dil G hoodie looked really good.
The hoodies and t-shirts. And by the way, even like the little wristband lights, by the way, that they give everyone. loads of people are sharing. I should probably put it up as well. The little hack to open it up, put a little bit of foil in it and make it work again. So you can make your light work at home. You carry on the Dil G concert. I think that should be a thing.
Okay. Well, the reason I ask is because basically there's a story in the papers today about how Noel and Liam Gallagher, the Oasis reunion master plan, is including loads of merch that they're going to be selling, but interesting and slightly different merch, because they're going to go with things like ironing board covers and fly swatters, and so they're for like slightly different stuff. What else have they got? They've got mosquito nets. They've got moisturizers. They've got deodorants, briefcases, dental floss, clothes pegs, and car washing mitts as well. So they're going for a real range of things. And I thought, you know what? I don't think, because I don't think, I know we do concerts now, but I don't think as Asians, we have really jumped on the bandwagon or got the concept of doing merch. Like, I'm quite surprised that DLG had a little bit of merch, you're saying. But like, we don't do the merch at that level. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's amazing. Mm. And I wonder why we're not doing that, because it's a way of making money.
Yeah, you're right. And actually, you can imagine in India, they could probably produce a lot more.
Absolutely.
Stuff because of the production costs and things like that over there. So they could totally do it. You're right. Just get a bit creative with it. You know what it is? It's probably hard enough just coordinating, booking a venue and getting an artist there and all their entourage and everything.
It's mad, isn't it? Why haven't we still figured that out? Because normally, if there's a way to make money, we're on it, as this is.
Yeah,
but we haven't figured out the merch.
Historically, do your mums and dads, or have your mums and dads or grandparents ever owned any merchandise of any kind? I don't think Asians typically, previous to our generation, would have bought merchandise. I don't think they would have gone to an LARP concert and gone, oh, can I come away?
LARP didn't have merch. That's the thing. LARP, that's the whole point. What I'm trying to say is that we have never done merch. Yeah. Asian people don't do merch.
Yeah. I mean, if they had merch back in their day, it would have been like a Sardara Gil, you know, headband. The shiny one.
Yeah, or a wig.
You could buy one of them.
Well,
imagine if they did Mirchy Mirch. You could have a Mirch that was your merch of the night. There you go. Come on, that was an easy one.
It's funny you talk about merch, Kej, because I'm already on it. We're going to have Brownlow merch soon. I'm just saying. We are.
Are we really?
We are.
This is breaking
news. That is a genuine first. I didn't even know about that.
Yeah. It's in the pipeline. I've already looked into it.
What village in India have you got to making these things?
It will be happening soon.
Are we going sweatshop? Or are we going like adults who are
going
to make it?
We're going proper. It's going to be good shit.
Sweatshop.
Trust me.
Yeah.
No.
So what have we got own merch per person, or have we just got Brownlow merch?
Let's just start normally. I think, you know, we've got to have stuff like hoodies, t-shirts.
Right.
I think people will buy them. I think it will happen. It's going to happen soon. I'm on the case.
Really?
A little brown load.
Kedge, do you want different things? What do you want? Do you want like alternative ones? Like, oh, there's a brown load willy warmer.
Jeddies with just the brown load on the back of it or something. That might just spice up your date night.
With brown load written over your pants. Well, how is that going to spice up date? Or you take your pants off it and you've got brown
load. It'll be funny. Like, because you know that if you've got the brown load logo on your backside, right? Yeah. And you know,
it's gonna be
and
a then comedy and making session.
Yeah, exactly. And if the other person knows what that is, you know, just imagine before they're about to get like all sort of jiggy jiggy, they think of Satch, Kedge and Tommy. I mean, what a better way to like get your night going?
And inside the kind of the hem, whatever bit, or the kind of elastic bit of the boxes, there's a little button with a tiny little speaker. And as you press it, it goes, it's the Benny Hill music.
I mean, there's no need to have silly things. Like, let's just start with t-shirts and hoodies. I think there's this, you know, let's just go normal.
I think we should have separate merch.
Then I think we should have one item per person that's going to represent that person.
Yeah, like you can identify yourself as a Satch, a Tommy, or a Kedge.
Well, no, I just think it just needs to be an item that reflects the person.
Oh, okay. So what would that be then?
Well, I don't know. Like, Tommy loves cooking, so it might be like a saucepan with, like, you know, that's Tommy's. I don't know.
Okay.
Just off the top of my head.
I'm having to think, well, what would you do, Satch?
I'd 100% after what we've been speaking about, and I've had millions of it'd be a shoehorn, a Satch shoehorn.
Satch shoehorn is a good one. It's got to be a little bit quirky, isn't it?
Do you know the amount of people that still message me saying, I can't believe them two don't have a shoehorn? What kind of farm are they from?
No.
Honestly, hundreds of messages.
No, don't be silly. Like, yeah, hundreds of messages from uncles over 65, Saj.
No, let's honestly. Girls and guys, honestly, they're like, I can't believe that.
I've never met a girl who's got a shoehorn.
Trust me, they're there.
No,
maybe
they
the second part, but not the first part.
Go with the horn. Come on. Okay. That's why it's funnier. What would your merch? Okay. What is Kedge merchandise? Let's just say Kedge is now Ed Sheeran, right? Kedge Sheeran, right? Yeah, Kedge Sheeran. What is your merchandise?
I don't know. I think it's just to have the Kedge Dandia stick.
No, that's boring.
Is it a bit boring?
Yeah.
The Kedge Dandia stick.
No, just one dandia. You need a better product than that, Kedge.
Just a bit of wood. What could it be though? I don't know. Maybe we just ask the people. What would a Kedge product be?
Help for Kedge. I tell you. Okay, I had a little thing. Right.
Go on, Tommy.
I think I got a good one.
Go on, for yourself.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah. Right. This. I'm gonna. Oh, here we go. My mind's ticking. Right. You call the product TS. It's TS,
yeah,
right? It's the label on the tie. It's a tie. Hear me out, like a smart tie.
Yeah.
The very tip of the tie, the big bit, the bottom that dangles down,
yeah,
it's got a darka stain on it, TS.
Right,
Darka stain on the very darka end.
Darka stain, you know, when you're at a wedding, Tommy Sandu.
Right, you lean across your dishes. You know when you go to get the salad stain. And your tie goes into the sauce of the food?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you get a little bit, this comes with every tie has got a unique darka stain on the bottom.
So to make Tommy's product, we've got to go and buy a batch of ties and then shove them in a curry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, stain them.
Yeah. Little curry splatter.
Painted. Yeah.
And maybe even you could then branch out into shirts that have got darka stain just on the sleeve.
Tommy, I don't think that represents you.
Yeah. It's food.
You're not a tie person.
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
I'll come back to you on that next week.
Darka stain on a thong. On a thong, because then it's making it a bit too much.
I mean, what are the chances you're gonna get a darka stain on a thong though?
It depends what you're doing. It depends what kind of party you go to.
Exactly.
Depends
if you go to the Dilji after party or the Udiji after party.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so you guys obviously had rock and roll weekends. And while you guys were out and about and just gallivanting, I was the man on the ground and keeping an eye on all things terrestrial TV.
Man on the ground, that means he had no plans this weekend.
Yeah.
He had nothing.
Oh, you got no plans.
No. Why do you have to say it like that? I sold it in such a beautiful way. People were like, oh, wow, look at that. So they even plan it. So if two of them go out, they give one man the job to watch.
What was that Kiefer Sutherland series where he's like, what was it called? Where they keep the presidents and all the leaders, they keep him separate.
It was called
Survivor,
something like that. No. It was like, it's the name of the person that you basically keep the president in the bunker.
Yeah, but it's not because when the president and all the other leaders of the world are all getting together. Designated survivor.
Anyway, that was you, Kedge.
Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, I was designated.
So say if anything happened to us, Tommy, over the weekend, he would be taking on the Brownlow and keeping it going by himself.
Just know that. Underground bunker.
It's in his hands.
And just know this, the BBC tried to do that when we left there as well. And what happened? So I'm just saying, I don't know how good the Brownlow to be after we leave. So just be warned.
Firstly, I think it was a good weekend to be at home because obviously I got an apology back from one of the big multinational companies in the world and that we all know as Andrex. Because if you are a serial listener of the Brownlow, you will remember a few episodes ago, I basically let off a massive rant about how they done us wrong with that advert. Do you remember for Andrex?
Yeah, with the Desi lady in it.
Desi lady goes for a number twos and everyone's, and I was annoyed because it was like in an office full of white people, it was the Asian woman and, you know, going for a smelly dump and all of that kind
number
of stuff,
two,
right?
Yeah.
And it upset me. And so obviously Andrex, who are big listeners of the Brownlow, have heard it and they wanted to apologize. They wanted to correct this mistake, and they did that. And I don't know if anyone has seen the new Andrex advert.
No.
Tommy, you would get well excited by this. But basically, it starts with, you get a little bit of stat about something like 42% of people don't like to go for a number two in public or something along those lines. And it's a white fella this time who's holding a toilet paper. But guess what tune they have used while all of this is happening? I mean, that is next, because they're not far away from it. They did. Oh. They're using Pag Gungru.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What? The start. The no. Start of, the start.
I think No. Kedge, I'm telling you now, they've mugged us off again. First, it was the brown lady that was having a dump. Now they're putting our tune over their little shit roll.
No, I think this is an indirect apology to the brown lady.
Popularity.
Yeah. This is the official apology from Andrex to the brown load. We are heard. They thought, you know what? What will get Kedge excited if we use a Bollywood song? Da-da-da-da. And I was like, straight away, I was on it. I was like, wow. So if you watch out for that, because it's a little moment we get excited about. And you know, as this is, we love it when we get represented on the mainstream telly. We love it, which brings me on nicely to the second thing that I had to keep my eyes across on the weekend, and that was on Strictly Come Dancing. Dr. Poonam, one of the contestants with Gorka.
Hang on, say her name again properly, because that's
Dr. Poonam. No, because I'm saying it how they say. Dr. Poonam was on Strictly with Gorka, and it was the couple's choice, which meant that they decided to do the first ever Bollywood dance, Bola Julia, Bollywood dance with an Indian singer as well, not just some random Gola trying to sing in English, but a proper Indian singer who they brought in specially to sing Bola Julia. It was a little remix thing, because obviously they only got 90 seconds. I mean, 90 seconds of Bola Julia, you wouldn't even get past the intro, the instrumental at the start of it. But Dr. Poonam Krishan, I think is her full name. She absolutely smashed it. Gorka was in a sherwani. He looked so dashing. They did the moves. They all loved it, because obviously they can't criticize it, can they? Because they don't know the moves. You know that Anton Dubek. What's he going to say?
And turns and all that.
Oh, mate, they were both doing all the Bollywood kind of hip thrusting, all of that the hand gestures. It was brilliant. She got a massive score, eights and nines. Everyone were proud about it. I put it on my Insta story. Just all I wrote was Bollywood now on Strictly with a heart. And Gorka shared my post on his Instagram story, which was incredible, right?
Yeah.
And then the second thing, I caught up with Shirley Ballas, because she was at work today. And I said, Shirley, how good was that? And she said, Kedge, honestly, I've never seen anything like that. She goes, I wish we had done more Bollywood music earlier, like loads of seasons ago. She goes, I can't believe we've never done this. They're loving it. They're loving us. They want to do more. We got to keep pushing, because I think we're coming there. We're coming.
I don't think we are, Kedge. I think that was it. That was it, Kedge.
I honestly just thought it was a bit tokenism.
I tell you what I'm thinking now, Kedge.
What?
Why don't you watch Dancing with the Stars, the India version?
Right? No.
Then you get Bollywood every night.
No. We have to infiltrate.
This is the second dumb thing. No, you don't have to infiltrate. What kind of four lines are you talking about? Listen, no. The thing is, you're that classic guy. We're on the mainstream. Look, they put our song on their station. That means they love us. We can stay, guys. No, we're legal, bruv. It's all right. I've got a passport. And you can get your fix. You get your fix elsewhere. You get your fix of all your desiness. If you really want to go desi, you can do that. But. I still get a little kick, of course I do, when I hear that song on the main. Because what I like is, oh wow, I know all the mainstream, all the non-Asians will be kind of going, oh, we heard a Bollywood song. We heard this Bollywood, you know, like,
yeah,
it sounds
yeah.
amazing. And I also know now from doing all those Bollywood Time Machine shows and all that, how many like Arabic, Turkish people love Bollywood. You know, like, get so many different kind of people. So that's nice. I think they get their fix of it. And I mean, but then it's no, it's like saying, oh, they're now going to do They're now going to do Latino night every night. They're not. I don't think this is the start of anything.
Yeah,
sorry.
No, I agree.
You never.
And do you know what? I listened to it, and the way like it was done, it was still very strictified. It was very I didn't find it authentic. It wasn't for me.
What do you mean?
No, it was just a bit like, oh, here you go, just smash a Desi to Bollywood song on Strictly. It was just a bit pants. I wasn't a fan of it.
Oh, I thought she was brilliant, and she came across very authentic about it by just, you know, sort of saying, what are the chances of, like, when she was growing up, you'd never see an Asian woman dancing to Bollywood music on BBC, and then all of a sudden, you know, this was there for all the young girls and guys and whatever and who wanted to see it. I thought she came across very genuine and you know, and I think that did the biz.
That's
fine. For me.
That's all good. That is all good. And if I have that little moment, I won't say it here because I don't want to endorse it. But there's a very funny bit that Mickey Flanagan says about he keeps getting invited onto Strictly Come Dancing.
Oh yeah,
and he basically do you remember the bit I'm talking about, Satch?
No,
because I know how much you love Mickey Flanagan as well.
I can't remember.
And he goes, you know you're famous because they keep calling you out. Go, won't do Strictly? Won't do Strictly? He goes, I'll only do it. If we do. If one of the themed nights is a drugs night, he goes, everyone get off their face. And he goes, and we'll see what happens. And just the thought.
I do remember that.
But yeah.
Do you know what it is with Strictly? I don't even like the show. I don't know why. It's just something about it that's just too.
Oh, Satch. Controversial.
I've never liked Strictly. I like loads of other Saturday night telly, and I think it's great telly. But there's something about Strictly that I just find. It just everything just looks fake. I'm like, this is crap. Like, I don't want to watch it.
Okay. All right.
Have you ever been down to the set? You ever been down to that strip?
I loved it. I love it. Watching it live is incredible.
It's a lot smaller.
Why would you want to go and watch people dance?
Huh?
Why would you want to go and watch people?
No, Satch, it's amazing. It is amazing watching that show live.
Hold a minute. Says the DJ who watches people dance.
I don't know. Hang on a minute. You think I stand there and watch people dance? What kind of creepy person am I?
That's your job.
You mad? Yeah. No, it's not my job. I don't stand there and watch people dance. That's weird.
You watch me.
Because you can't take your eyes off.
We can't miss you, mate.
Mesmerizing.
With your two left feet.
What have you been watching? Who's been watching what?
I'm going to go first on this. Basically, you might have heard of the new Penguin series, which is out on Sky Atlantic.
Yes, I watched that.
Yeah, so I thought you guys would be on it because basically, I'm not really, as you know, I'm not into all this Marvel stuff and all of that kind of stuff. But this Colin Farrell, I thought, you know, I like Colin Farrell as an actor. I'm going to give it a go. Slightly, you know, not your usual superhero stuff. It's actually just like gangsters, basically, and then you get to know a little bit about the Penguin. It's really good. I didn't think I really enjoyed episode one, but here I am. Episode three just came out today. I've already seen it. I'm up to speed.
Wow.
And it's, I wouldn't say it's a wow thing, but I think it's a nice story. And, you know, you see different side to the Penguin.
That is on my to watch list. You know what?
Really?
I said to my dad to watch it while I was away in Dubai, because I know he watched all of Gotham and he loved it.
Okay, I've not seen any of this stuff. So this is all new to me.
Ken, you should watch Gotham. I think you'd like it. There's nothing about Batman, really. It's like gangsters.
They mentioned Batman twice. I think they mentioned the Riddler once, but I think it's all about the Penguin. And the Penguin is not like, you know, because for me, the Penguin was that kind of silly man, just a fat man who just dresses like a kind of half a penguin. But, you know, they've made it more realistic, like gangsters. It's like Italian gangsters.
Have you seen The Batman, the film The Batman?
No, I haven't.
You should watch that as well. Obviously Batman is in it, but it's based around Penguin and the rest of the gangsters and the other family.
And the new Joker film come out this weekend as well.
It's getting slated.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, people have seen it because they say, because you know it's a musical for a start, so they've messed it up. They make the first one, which makes over $1 million or whatever, $1 billion in the cinema and all of that in the box office, and then they go and, I know, we'll make this into a musical, and it's just rubbish. People are walking out saying that actually I'm the joke in this thing who've gone to see the film because basically because it's rubbish.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you know what? I will watch it when it comes out on Sky Movies or something. No, I'm not gonna. I don't think it's a. And the thing is, I really wanted to like go cinema. I was like, there's one film that I want to go and watch this year.
Exactly,
it's The Joker, but only because the last one
was incredible.
Yeah. So good.
Incredible.
So good.
Yes, it's nothing like that.
Literally, all the reviews that I've seen, every review, I've not even heard one person say it was good. Everyone said it's terrible.
Yeah.
So I'm just a bit like, oh, I'm not sure about that.
I was watching stuff on Netflix on my train journeys up and down the country. And so I haven't finished it yet, but I thought of you, Kedge, and I did fire you a little message saying this has just come out. Because it just came up on my Netflix notification.
Yeah.
And we watched the first one. This is a sequel. And if I'm honest, Netflix don't often do sequels. I don't know many.
Yeah. They normally don't do good films.
Yeah. Yeah. True. That as well. And this is Platform 2.
Yes.
Platform 1, Platform, the first film that came out, was one that you recommended, Kedge.
Yeah.
And it was one that really kind of questioned life and all that stuff. And it was, I thought, genuinely, when I went into watching Platform 1, I thought, it's another stupid Kedge recommendation.
It's in French, isn't it? It's in French.
Spanish. They have different nationalities in there, but majority of it is Spanish, I think.
I watch it dubbed. So I watch it with...
That's rubbish. Yeah.
But no, it's only rubbish if you know the original voices, but then you can find it. But you're right. The actors do talk in a funny kind of way. Hey, buddy, stop that. Okay. It's a bit Bruce Lee film. What's that you say?
Yeah.
Okay,
I'd rather have that, though, than a language that I don't understand.
Yeah, or having to follow it all with subtitles. Yeah. You're right. And by the way, those kind of dubbing role actors... That's what I do. So I can't knock those people for the job.
They're
somewhere in a booth like me, kind of going, right, you're going to play this guy. But the film is layered up to kind of reflect life and society and what we have and how much we weigh. It is clever like that. You can definitely see levels about God and belief and what's beyond, what's outside of it, what it's all about. So there's all of that kind of. So this is the sequel. It moves it on. I was like, oh, what are they going to do with the sequel? But it moves it on. There's more rules. There's more interactivity between the different levels on the platforms. But if you haven't seen Platform 1, worth seeing. But so far, I'm only 3/4 away through Platform 2.
The Platform was one of Netflix's most watched movies ever.
Oh, was it? Was it big? Good. I'm glad it was.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Because it was, like I said, it had meaning. And I like that. I want to come away and go, I don't want to be like, what? I've got to work it out. But I was like, oh, I can see what they did there. I'm just going to say it. Like Inside Out. I loved Inside Out.
That's clever.
Because clever. Yeah. You could see the meaning behind it. You can see how it all works together, how it fits life. Same with the Platform. It fits life. But God, what did you? You've seen it all, but don't give the end away for me because I've got 20 minutes left.
It's good. I mean, is it? So, firstly, I think we can both agree it's not really a sequel. Like it could just be a standalone film again. I think, couldn't it?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Or it could just carry on because it just sort of starts assuming you know
back in again. Yeah.
Everything that's going on.
So how far have you got?
Oh, I don't want to say anything spoiler, okay, but you know, yeah, 3/4 of the way for the
okay, fine.
Through, but...
Yeah, no, I think it's one of those ones where it's a little bit. I think firstly, I think this could be a prequel to the rather than a sequel. I think, but when it finishes, also, I think the ending, as you know, always goes a bit weird with these kind of films, and so then you've got to make your own sort of. Understanding an ending of the film and what actually happened.
God, why are you watching films like this when you got to think of your own ending?
It's how you interpret it. So, but I watch it, Tommy. I think it's
rubbish. Why don't you tell me what I'm meant to think instead of thinking?
No, because it's art, Saj.
I want to be entertained. I don't want to think about how to end a film. Just entertain me.
It's clever, but because it's doubly clever. No, hear me out. It's doubly clever because it makes the director look clever. And also they don't have to be clever and they get to look clever. And that's pretty clever.
That's like me. Next time I DJ at a club, I'm not going to play the last song and just leave it. Oh, you play off your...
Are you going to let me come and play it for you?
No, play off your Spotify.
So you want me to come and sit next to you?
You end the night. How you want to end it?
I love
how
that.
About
you
that?
Know what, Satch? That is Satch. Artistic.
That is artistic. That is such a good idea, Satch.
What I'm going to play, you say, look, I'm going to play a 3-minute blank track. And
yes.
You can just dance to whatever song.
But you dance
your head.
To what you think is in your head. Love it. Oh, that's Satch. No, that is.
Who has done that as a DJ, Satch?
Satch, come on. I'm going Satch straight is, up. I'm going jungle Satch, track. Straight.
Imagine, Kedge. Imagine right now, it's 3 minutes to 3 a.m. And the DJ goes, and for the last 3 minutes, just dance to anything you want in your head.
We're going to stand there in silence for 3 minutes. It's stupid.
I've got Keith Sweat twisted. I'm sorry.
We're not talking about who you're dancing with. Not Keith Sweat. No, I'm saying, think of a song And
I think actually, you know, I do miss that. I do miss when club nights used to end with like slow jams. You know what I mean? And it's just like all that slow vibe.
You have to end with a slow. You have to end with a slow jam. That's the only way to end the club night.
No, or you can go up to your mate and you can just sing songs to your mates. So you go, don't worry, boy.
Brilliant.
Last song of the night, I got this.
All of this, we've been
we're not
playing that shit. I'm telling you that. No,
just skipping.
No. But I get to choose it, Satch. You just
gave gave us the power, Satch.
No, it's not happening. The whole point is to be artistic and give the people an end. Why are you just leaving people hanging? I don't understand. It's the same with films.
Fair enough.
Oh, wow. Satch has gone deep into that.
Something that I went deep into this week, and it actually wasn't a film.
I'm not talking about... That's rude. It's not good to kiss and tell.
I knew you were going to say that just as I said it. It's not a film. It was actually a podcast, Tommy. And obviously, I know you listen to Joe Rogan now and again as well when there's a good guest on. And quite a few people said this to me. Listen to the episode with Chris Harris on it. You know, the motoring journalist who was on Top Gear presenter, Chris Harris.
Oh, OK.
Yeah.
He's on Joe Rogan and he speaks about the whole thing, what happened with Freddie Flintoff and his accident and what happened with Top Gear and sort of how it affected his life and him being out of a job and stuff. Boys, you two have got to listen to that episode. Brilliant. Why? It's three hours long.
Why have I got to listen to it? Tell me, because, why are you saying it like that? Because you wouldn't normally recommend a podcast and you know, I'm going to just be real for a second. Listening to Joe Rogan podcast when I just got sacked. You know, and having you boys still in my life, and we've said that meeting up, been having someone to talk to about what was an unjust thing that had happened. But the Joe Rogan podcast, because obviously other people were getting cancelled, and that was this suddenly that was a new thing then.
Of course.
So I got real sort of solace from Joe Rogan, like, this isn't just me. This is something's going on in the world. And look, there's lots of unfairness. There's lots of people that are mistreated. There's lots.
Yeah.
There was Black Lives Matter. There was Me Too movements. So I got a lot of that from podcasts. But the way you're saying it now, why are you saying
that? I'm saying it now because Chris Harris goes in on the establishment and how it's run. I'm saying you boys would love it.
Okay, good. I will tell you. And by the way, I will definitely. But you know what? I'm going to be honest again with you boys, because I could just a podcast of honesty. I still find it hard to like indulge. You know, like even the Hugh Edwards stuff and all that. I'm like, I don't want to know, because I know what that place is like. I know what's good. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to start self-reflecting a bit. I'm going to start thinking about what went on and how they run things and all that. And it's like, it's not healthy. But
yeah, I hear that.
I still want to know. I would want to know. That what goes on just about Freddie Flintoff.
Yeah, I think it was. He's better.
Yeah, he's recovering. He's
had his he did that show on BBC One, but it was
I really like it.
But it was more a case of like how Chris Harris feels responsible for it, because he, out of the three of them, he's the only one that's like a qualified driver.
Yeah,
you know, like and he's the one that's always there, you know, giving the other two tips on how to drive certain cars and stuff like that. So the car that Freddie had his accident in was a three-wheeler. So it was, you know, Chris. And it just so happened that day, they didn't have enough time for Chris to kind of brief Freddie. So he kind of goes through all of that and how he kind of feels like, you know, it's just the one time that I didn't do it and this is what happened. So he goes into a lot of that. And honestly, it's a really good listen. And I was just quite shocked because I'm just like, you know, Joe Rogan has all these crazy people on his podcast. And you're like, that's our guy, Chris Harris from Top Gear. So it was a bit strange to hear him on it. But then you hear how much Joe Rogan loves Chris Harris as well. And he goes, you're my favorite, car journalist.
He's a proper car man.
He's a proper car man. And it, honestly, really good podcast. I listened to it on the way back from my flight from Dubai. And 3 hours of the flight just went quickly from listening to that. It was really
Just while we're talking about podcasts, it's this Friday. So tomorrow, the day after this podcast comes out, actually the 11th of October, is is Sweet Bobby on Netflix. So those who want to see it, who haven't seen it, will want to see it. And by the way, again, I got invited. There's only one ticket. Sorry. But I'm not going because I can't go because of work. But this Wednesday... to Netflix invited us to go and watch it like the first episode in their studios. I didn't even know Netflix had a cinema, like Netflix Studios, where you can go and watch it in central London. And that was nice because a quick little thing to share with you. I didn't even know Netflix knew what the Brownload was, but they went, "Hi, Tommy, we heard you talk about shows on your Brownload. Would you like to come along?" That's from their PR
team. Actually
Yeah, I promise you. Yeah, like direct name, that name, that person. Wow. Working at, and sorry, when you're doing your own podcast, these, you need these links. That's why I'm talking about it. Because, and wow, people think that we just, we just got them. We haven't. So that was really nice of Netflix to invite us. I apologize. I said we can't make, I can't make Wednesday.
Well, just let them know there's three of us next time as well.
I have done, but sometimes you know, like you don't want the sauce around the ras malai. You just want the ras malai.
You just want the Russ.
The Russ. Mm.
You just want the Ross Clark.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. No, but it was that. And then obviously, yeah, Sweet Bobby's out on Friday. Oh, and what's the other film that's out? Is it the new Ali Abatt one? That's out this weekend as well. The new Ali Abatt film, was it Jevra?
Jezbad. Is it Jezbad? Jevra. Oh, I don't know. Oh, I don't know, mate.
Jigra.
Okay.
Jigra, yeah. It's supposed to be very good as well.
Okay. So
there's a... We did get tickets for that as well, but you guys can't attend and I can't attend because where are we on Friday?
We are at our own quiz what's night. It called? Quiz night. Yeah. Thank wow. God.
Well done, Kedge.
It'll be comedy by the time I get involved in it, but anyway.
Exactly. It is a comedy quiz night. It's a comedy quiz night. It's in Hornchurch. All the details on our Instagram. But on to things we have learned. What have you learned, boys?
Yes. Can I go first?
Go for it.
The thing that I have learnt, Tommy, and this kind of relates more to you than to me and Kej, because we don't have this, it's about having a sister. So having a sister can boost your mental health and self-esteem. And it also finds that you can become more of a giving and a kinder person if you have a sister compared to a brother.
Can I just say, if I'd said this, you'd have absolutely laughed at me and gone, Kej, that is rubbish.
But that's a study and it's a fact.
No. No, just saying. This comes under the banner of live, love, life, or whatever you always say when I say things like this. I'm sorry, Sech. Don't even try that.
That was a good one.
Tommy, staying quiet?
No, not at all. I tell you what, that I was listening to it because I was thinking, what a lovely, lovely gesture to you.
Oh, that's lovely. Exactly. Right? Sech said it is lovely.
No, as I just said earlier in this podcast, I didn't know Sech was going to drop that as his fact. Being at the Janet Jackson concert with my sisters.
There you go. See, I picked that on purpose for Tommy.
Because since hanging out with them, my life has moved on to fatherhood, husbandhood, you know, like all that kind of stuff. And my working world.
So PJ ain't got a sister, so he's a grumpy git.
No. I've always said, I think having older sisters is important. But you've got a close cousin sister, though, Sach. How do I feel? You haven't got much female. Who's the female contact? I've met your brother. There is nothing. He's not even in touch with his feminine side a little bit. No. Like he's
no. I have female cousins who are like, you know, who are good fun. But they're all younger than me. That's the thing. They're all younger than me. So it's a different vibe.
You're young at heart.
Yeah, I'm the eldest.
Do they think you're cool? Do they think, oh look?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Kej is honestly. He's that. If I was a kid and Kej was around when I was a kid, he's the creepy uncle. That's it. He's just known as the creepy uncle.
Oh my god! What is that about?
You're not creepy. You're fine. Okay, that's a good. But it reminded me of something that I heard. I don't know if I said this on the podcast last week but I've been saying it to other people throughout the week. I heard something on TikTok, which is that multi generational families, so grandparents, parents, and then the kids that all live together, all live longer, all benefit from it. It's all better for their well-being. Right. So that our style, Desi style of multi-generational living is good for everyone, kids, the parents, and the grandparents. So it's a bit like what you said about the sister one, but that's not my thing I learned.
Go on, Tommy, do you want to go next?
The thing I learned this week is one for all the Desi drama lovers out there, right? You know, we have Desi dramas are a part of our life, right? They're on always around us. We might not watch it ourselves. Sach, you're probably more into your dramas than anyone else. I know you watch the more modern Netflix ones.
It's because it's full of drama.
Yeah.
I ain't watching no Desi drama, mate.
But yeah, you do. You watch all of that.
No, when I think Desi drama, I'm talking about shit on like Star Plus. I don't watch none of that. I'm talking about like, if it's like Mirzapur, then I'm in.
Yeah, same thing.
No, it's not. It's different.
Right. But anyway, in China, they love their dramas too. Their own dramas, right?
Yeah.
But now, because you think about our dramas here, they go on for years, series go on for like, you know, God knows how many episodes.
EastEnders.
Like
EastEnders. Yeah. EastEnders.
Right. Now what they're doing, they're doing micro dramas in China, right? This is a thing. Mm. And it's a big craze and it's going viral and people are loving it. Where you get to watch a little bit of a drama, just a few minutes.
Yeah.
And if you want to watch more, you pay. At every plot twist, when the mother-in-law walks in, oh, and the son she catches with the woman who works in the house, you know, the maid. Oh no, plot twist! It'll freeze. You put in some money, you get to watch more. And ooh. I think it's like a pay-as-you-go dramas. I'm not sure any of our lot would ever do that. Why are you laughing?
I just don't think that would happen. It's just weird, isn't it?
It is weird.
Yeah. Imagine then, all right, fine. You pay £5 and you get to see the next scene. As you said, they got caught. If you pay a bit more, it could be like, you know, one of those scenes. You pay a bit more, you can see a bit of a...
Maybe that's not a bad idea. They film two versions. You can take the route if you go like the after 9 o'clock route and the pre-9 exactly. o'clock route.
Yeah,
exactly.
There you go. See, Satch, that's your money making side. That's your business side coming through there. Yeah. Going,
£20, you get the full shebang.
Shebang.
Hello.
Kedge, what right. did you learn?
My one is, and you know what? Actually, this was I love this when I discovered this today, and that was that. What does the Stan mean in certain countries' names, like Afghanistan, like Kazakhstan, like Tajikistan, like Turkmenistan and Uzbekistan? And this is what I found out. Now, they all have this suffix. What does the Stan mean? Now, this Stan actually comes from the Persian language to mean land. So like Afghanistan is the land of the Afghans, right? But then you're thinking, well, hold on a minute, that doesn't work for Pakistan. No. Why is that? But it's different from Pakistan. Now, this is where I learned a little bit of history and I thought, wow. So Pakistan, that original name was first bandied about and created in 1933. And this was an acronym of all the multiple major ethnicities along the Indus Valley, which is Punjab, Afghania, Kashmir and Sindh. So P-A-K-S. And then in 1947, when it was officially recognized as a country, they called it the land of the pure. And that's what Pak means, pure. So that's why Pakistan is that. But otherwise, the Stan normally means land.
Land.
So I thought, okay. You know what? So that's interesting.
I didn't know that. That was a good one, kid.
No,
thank you.
By the way, I knew Stan meant land. I knew that because... And I thought it was something like, I thought it was with bucky. Like, you know, so in Punjabi, bucky is a, like, how do I say it? Like it's all made. It's all made. Like it's
complete.
It's like it's all come together. Yeah, you know, complete. Like where it all comes together, right? I'm probably not doing that. I'm probably not thinking of the right, best way to, like even with roti, like I think they use that phrase with roti as well. Like, all of it.
As opposed to Gachu, it's Baku.
Yeah, right. So I thought it was the land where everyone comes together. I thought, I wonder whether it's that
right.
in its etymology, because it's in between all those areas around it with India and then above and whatever. I thought, oh, it's where it all comes together. And I thought that's what you're going to say with the Indus Valley, da, da, da. But it kind of is. It's like, but they've done it as an acronym. But,
yes.
And on that note, I think Audi, just on the side that's come to mind, that was an acronym. And we already said this on the podcast, where it was after the war, Germany had lost like a load of its trade and all that. And then four companies came together, the A, the U, the D, and the I. And then in the end, the A bought them all out and became Audi and kept that one. So I know it's like similar things like that. But that's nice. See, it's all about unification, baby.
There we
Bringing
go.
Bringing people together. It's a wonderful thing, Ken. That's a nice one. All right. So I think we're good for now. And I'll see you boys on Friday night at our little Desi Pub quiz.
Yes.
And in Hornchurch. If there are, I think, like something silly, like 6 or 8 tickets left. So if anyone wants to jump in
less,
and grab those,
less,
you can.
Less. I think there's less than that.
So look, it's going to be a great night. We'll have a laugh. We'll do a quiz. We've never done
Sold
this before.
Out
we'll try something out. Yeah. And we'll have some fun. So I'll see you on Friday, boys, and enjoy the podcast. It's going to tell everyone all about it. And we'll catch you next week. Laters.
L-E-T-E-N-P-C. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.